Exodus chapter number 15. Appreciate all of the prayers. What would we do without the prayers of God's people through this life? Exodus chapter number 15. Exodus 15. You don't have to stand tonight. While you're turning to Exodus 15, I want to remind us from the book of Exodus chapter number 12. You always want to remember Exodus 12. That's a paramount chapter in all of the Word of God, especially in the book of Exodus. That's where God passes through the land of Egypt and passes over all of them that have the blood on the outside of the house. Oh, hallelujah. They had the lamb on the inside and had the blood on the outside. And the Lord said, when I see the blood, oh, hallelujah. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. He didn't say, when I see your good works, Brother Stephen. Didn't say, when I see all of your Sunday school pens. Didn't say, when I see your tithe record. He said, when I see the blood, I will pass over. Glory to God. I'm glad it's settled in the blood. Amen. Well, Exodus 12 is the story of the Lord's Passover. God leads the people of God out by a mighty hand. And I want to say tonight, if you've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, that God has delivered you by a mighty hand. Can I get a witness right there? God has been good to us. God went through a lot to get the people of God out of the land of Egypt. And may I say this tonight, that God went to great expense to get us out of Egypt. Amen. Thank God tonight for the redeeming power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Exodus 12, you never want to forget that one chapter in all of the Word of God. It is the story of the Lord's Passover. Exodus chapter number 13, they begin their journey out of the land of Egypt. God leads them by a pillar of fire by day and a cloud of fire by night. And God begins leading His people. And He could have taken them by the way of the Philistines, but He would not do that unless they repented when they saw war. In other words, there's no shortcuts in this thing. Amen. God has got a path picked out for every one of us, and He's going to take us down that path. Exodus 13, they begin their journey. Think about it. They begin their journey with God. Oh, I felt something on that. Amen. From the day that we got saved, we began a journey with God Almighty, with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Every day that we wake up is a new day that we have to spend with Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. And He's taken us to glory. Hallelujah. So we begin our journey in Exodus chapter number 13. Exodus chapter number 14. Is a great chapter disclosing the heart of our enemy, Satan. Exodus chapter 14, Pharaoh says, why have we let these people go? And Brother George asked me one time, and he said, Brother John, he said, why does the devil insist on pursuing our lives? Because of Exodus 14 gives us insight to that, because he has a hard heart. Whenever somebody's got a hard heart, what they do does not make sense. Amen. It doesn't make sense to me that the devil just keeps on doing what he does. But he does because he has a hard heart. He had just lost his only son. He had just buried his son. And then he had the audacity to say, why have we let the people go? They let the people go because God's judgment was against them. But they let God's people go. And then he said, I'm repenting that I let them go. Let's go pursue after them. And may I say tonight that you may be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. But Satan is not going to leave you alone. He is going to chase you down. He is going to pursue your life. But aren't you glad tonight? Hallelujah. That if you're saved, greater is He that's in you than he that is in the world. Thank God I'm on the Lord's side. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Whoa, I felt something on that. I'm glad I'm saved tonight. Amen. Glad I'm in the Lord's army tonight. Amen. Well, Exodus 14, the devil begins pursuing them. And in Exodus, you know the story. That they God opened up the Red Sea. You know what the Bible says? In Exodus 15, they begin describing through a song of how God did that. It said, from the blast of thy nostrils, thou divided the seas. In other words, God just sneezed and divided the Red Sea. Our God's a big God, amen. And may I say this, that wasn't just some little division in the water. It was a great path that God opened up to where over 2 million people could pass over the Red Sea. Some 85 feet deep, cross over the Red Sea on dry ground. That's a miracle. Hey, amen. You pass over an ocean and pass over on dry ground, God's been around. Amen. I mean, God has shown up and done something. And so in Exodus 14, you know the story of how Moses has got the rod of God. He's got the Red Sea divided. All the people of God pass over on the other side. Hallelujah, safe and sound. And then Pharaoh tries to do the same thing, but God closes the sea upon them. They see the dead bodies of all the Egyptians laying on the shore of the Red Sea. And now Exodus 15, we come to Exodus 15. Exodus 15 begins with a song. You remember those days whenever you first got saved and you were just so happy about being saved. I mean, you were just singing from the heart. I mean, Jesus was real. Everything was real to you about what God had just done for you. You couldn't wait to get to the house of God. You couldn't wait to sing the songs of Zion. But you came in here tonight and you barely opened your mouth. I wonder what happens along the way. Well, Exodus 15 is going to show us some things of what happens along this journey. Exodus 15 begins with them singing the song of victory. It wasn't victory in Jesus, but they were singing about victory in Jesus. Amen. But I want you to come to me with me tonight and begin in verse number 22 of Exodus chapter 15. And I want to preach a message tonight on God showed me a tree. Exodus 15, verse number 22. It says, so Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah, which just simply means bitterness. And the people murmured, oh, must have been a Baptist crowd, amen. And the people murmured against, look who they're talking to, the pastor, amen. They murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? And he cried unto the Lord. That's a mark of a real leader right there, amen. It said, and he cried unto the Lord. And the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. I want you to look with me in verse number 24, in the middle of the, or verse number 25, in the middle of the verse where it said, and the Lord showed him a tree. I want to preach from that text tonight on a time that God showed me a tree in my life. It was some several years ago. I was still living in Waycross, Georgia, and on a Monday morning, I resigned my church. Amen. Most pastors, they have a resigning service on every Monday that rolls around. Things don't go too good sometimes on Sunday. And so on Mondays, we get the blues and we have us a resignation party. Amen. So I had me a resignation party and I told my wife, I said, honey, I'm going to go to the farm and I'm going to go fishing for a while. I was like Peter. I was going to go fishing. Amen. My stepdaddy has 500 acres down there in South Georgia, prime land. And on that prime land, he's got a 40-acre pond. I decided I was going to take me a trip out there to that pond and I was going to do me a little fishing. Well, it was winter time. I mean, hard winter for South Georgia. I mean, it was cold down there in South Georgia. We have hard colds up here, but it was a hard cold down there in South Georgia this time of year. It was in November. and I went fishing on that day. Got out there like I'd always done. Got the boat and I slipped it into the water, put my gear in the boat, and I slipped out there onto that 40-acre pond. I could already feel them fish a-tugging on the other end. I mean, I was ready to catch me some fish. So I was just kind of swiveling my oar across the water and gliding across. Well, that pond was just full of stumps. And it wasn't anything to come up on a stump and your boat would get lodged up on a stump. And so this particular time, I got up on a stump and I'd always just found that if I just shifted my weight a little, I'd come off of that stump and then I could go on about my fishing. Well, this day I was sitting in the middle of the boat. We had a little makeshift seat made and a little console, and I was sitting there on the seat and I shifted my weight. And when I did, I didn't realize it, but that stump had it really locked down. That stump tipped that boat over when I shifted my weight, and it shot me head first out into the water. Well, I thought to myself, I said, Lord, have mercy. Look what I've done now. I mean, here I am out there. I was far from the peaceful shore, and I was in the water. And so I thought to myself, I said, it was a miracle that I didn't hit my head on one of the stumps in that water. And so I swam back over there to that boat, and it was still just sitting there on that stump. And I reached up there to grab it, and when I did, the thing flipped over on the top and began sinking. I mean, there my boat was. I was way out there in the middle of the water. My boat was a-going down. I grabbed the front of the boat and I shoved it down. The back end came up. It caught a little air up under it. And there I was out there where the boat was just kind of floating along and just kind of rocking back and to. And there I was out there in the water. And I mean, it was hard, cold winter in South Georgia. Amen. And there I was far from the peaceful shore. And I mean, I was panicking. I was fretting. I was calling on God. I said, hey, God, I don't really mean to resign. I was just kidding about resigning, Lord. I mean, God, here I am, your preacher man. Lord, please save me. And I mean, I was expecting God to send a sky hook out of heaven, but I was looking for one miracle after another. I mean to tell you, if Benny Hinn had come walking on the water, I wouldn't have talked to him about his hairdo. I wouldn't have said nothing about his doctrine. I would have taken his hand and let him pull me up. Amen. I mean, I was desperate. Amen. I was looking and I started struggling and trying to hold on to the boat. And the boat was just a rocking and all like that. I would try to straddle the front of the boat and hold on the best I can, and then I'd fall off back into the water. And I'd been in there for right at an hour, trying to tell you this. I mean, I'd been in that water for an hour and struggling. I was getting tired. I was getting wore out. And I started saying, oh God, would you just show me what to do? I mean, there was nobody around. I was out there in the middle of the 500 acres and there was nobody around. I said, God, would you please show me what to do? What do I need to do, Lord? There was a little island over there and I looked at it and I thought, well, I'll go and just kind of lay myself across that little island. There maybe somebody will come out here to the farm. And then I thought, well, there's probably moccasins all in there. There's probably that old gator in there. I got to thinking about all the perils that was in that water. And I made up my mind that wasn't a good idea. And finally, I was just hanging on the boat and I was crying out to God. I said, God, would you please show me where I need to go? And about that time, I looked over there to my left. And there was a tree that come up out of the water. It came up and the trunk came straight up out of the water. Then it parted into two great limbs. And the Lord said, if you'll make it to that tree, you'll be okay. And I want to preach for a little while on God showed me a tree. Amen. Can I tell you about a day that the Lord showed me a tree? November the 21st, 1982. I went running to a tree. And thank God, I found the Lord at that tree. Thank God for the tree of Calvary in my life. Amen. I want to say, when I made it to that tree, I struggled over there and I got myself over there best I can. I was paddling with my hands and I finally made it to that tree And I let go of that boat and I grabbed that tree. And it was almost like that tree grabbed me. Hallelujah. I mean, I found number one, safety. Safety. I was safe. Hallelujah. May I tell you tonight that we are all safe at Calvary. Thank God for the tree called Calvary, because we're safe at Calvary. Amen. Amen. This world, they're looking for safety in their money. They're looking for safety in the deposit box. They're looking for safety in their fame. They're looking for safety in the politics. But can I tell you, the only safe place in this entire world is a tree called Calvary. Thank God for the place called Calvary. And we can find safety at Calvary. I was far from the peaceful shore, brethren. Amen. And I needed safety in my life. Can I tell you tonight that we were far from the peaceful shore? We were in a deep ditch. We were in an ugly pit. And when we cried out to the Lord, I mean, that pit of sin had its locks on us and we were sinking in the mire. Hey, you might have been in that pit and the JWs, the Jehovah Witness came by and they would just throw you a little watchtower track in there and said, read your way out of the pit. Maybe the Mormons would come by and throw you a bicycle down in that pit and say, ride yourself out of that pit. Maybe the Buddhists would come by, throw you a little statue of Buddha in there and tell you to rub Buddha's belly, and maybe you'd get out. Maybe the Muslims would come by and tell you just to kill yourself while you're in the pit. Amen for Mohammed. But can I tell you this? When Jesus come by, He didn't put nothing down in the pit, but He Himself got down in the pit where we were at, and He brought us out by a mighty hand. Can I tell you tonight that there is safety at Calvary for the child of God? Hallelujah. Thank God tonight we are safe. Hallelujah. Yeah, man, somebody might have had to slide into home base, but if you made it to Calvary, you're safe. Yeah, man, glory to God. Yeah, man. Hallelujah for Calvary. Whoa, I feel like preaching tonight. I felt something at Calvary. Yeah, man. Hallelujah. God showed me a tree. When I made it to that tree, I found safety. When I made it to that tree, I found strength. Woo! I was tired. Oh, I was weary, beating myself to death, trying to stay afloat. Do you remember them old days when you were beating yourself to death? You might have tried the liquor of the world. You might have tried the dope of the world just to try to get a little thrill and try to stay afloat. But when you made it to Calvary, oh, you found something that was strength in your life for the first time in your life. Oh, the dope will pass away. The drinking will pass away. But Calvary, it'll never pass away. Thank God for the strength that we can find at Calvary. Amen. I found strength. It'll turn things around in your life. I was so tired by the time I got to that tree that I didn't know it. I didn't realize it, but hypothermia was setting in on me. And I was getting real, real cold to the bone, and I didn't realize it. And when I finally made it over there to that tree, the boat was right there with me. I let go of that boat and I grabbed hold of that tree, and I felt, oh, that boat, it was just rocking and it was just rolling and reeling. But when I made it to that tree, I felt something that was strength in my life. Can I tell you tonight that when we make it to Calvary, when we finally do get saved for the first time in our lives, we find what it is to get real strength in our lives. He was my strength the day I got saved, and He's been my strength ever since. He's my strength tonight. You can't do it on your own, but thank God, the Lord will be your strength. You see what they said in verse chapter 15, verse number 2. Right when they brought Him out of the Red Sea, the Lord is my strength and my song. Oh, hallelujah. But can I tell you, along the way, there'll come some bitter places. There'll come those bitter places in your life. And if you're not careful, you'll start doing like the nation of Israel did, and you'll begin murmuring. Whoa, don't let the situations of life make you bitter. Whoa, don't let the situations that you go through and the circumstances make you bitter. It'll affect you. It'll twist your life. Amen. And that's what they did. They began murmuring. And it said that God showed Moses a tree. And he said, you throw that tree in the waters and it'll make a difference in your life. Hey, when I made it to the tree, I found strength. Not only did I found strength, but I found security. Hallelujah. Glory to God tonight. I'm not kept by my might. I'm not kept by my strength. Thank God tonight I am kept by the power of God. Thank God for the security of every born again child of God. You couldn't lose what you've got tonight even if you wanted to. Amen. Some of you look like you might have lost something. Amen. But you'll never lose salvation. Hallelujah. The devil cannot... Hey, the devil can't take your soul. Amen. He can mess with your mind like Brother Stephen was talking this morning. But he can never get the soul. We're secure in the Lord Jesus Christ. When I made it to that tree, I found security. Amen. Thank God for the security of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the thing about this security, it'll never end. Woo! Think about it, for all of eternity, we're going to be saved. Think about it, for all of eternity, we're going to be in heaven shouting the victories of God. Some of you might be going through some bitter places right now. Oh, they'll come along our way. But thank God the tree adds sweetness to our circumstances. I found security. Not only did I find security and safety and strength, but I found some supernatural things when I made it to that tree. I pulled up alongside that tree and I grabbed hold of that tree and I hung on that tree for a while. But I was so tired that I was even just weary in trying to hold on to the tree. So what I did is I got up in the tree and I laid over the forks of that tree and just rested. I just rested in that tree. You know what? Sometimes we get to try to think, well, it's up to me. Oh, what you need to do is just rest in that tree. You can't keep yourself saved. You can't keep yourself in love with Jesus. You can't keep Jesus in love with you. Just rest in the tree. And I rested in that tree. And I got a little wind back to me. And I got to thinking, well, I'm still far from the peaceful shore. And so I thought, what am I going to do? And I got back down and I got up under that boat and I was going to try to upright that boat. And there was a vacuum that had formed up under that boat. And I found on my own, I couldn't do it. And I prayed. I said, Lord, please give me the strength. And I prayed. And when I prayed, supernaturally, God gave us strength from another world. And I pulled up on that boat one more time and I heard the and that boat flipped over a right. And lo, I love that little two-letter word, and lo. You ever had one of them and lo moments in your life? And lo, my tackle box had floated up under the boat. I just knew all of my paraphernalia was down on the bottom of the ocean. But lo, my tackle box had floated. Oh, yeah. And I looked at that tackle box and it was like it was glowing. And I said, well, I've got to have the boat was still about half full of water. And I knew that I needed to get the water out of the boat. So I tore the lid off of that tackle box. Saved my tackle. Tore the lid off of that tackle box and I started scooping. I scooped water out of that boat to where I could get back in the boat. Ooh. Hallelujah. Oh, I was getting tired. Oh, it was a bitter situation in my life. But I was at the tree. And I was at that tree. And I mean, there was some supernatural things that began happening in my life when I made it to the tree. Can I tell you tonight, when we make it to the tree of Calvary, there'll be some supernatural things that start happening in all of our lives. I remember one time, I've told this story, but it's my story and I'm going to tell it again. I remember one time I just started the church in Waycross in a little storefront building, Brother Sam. And we were going along pretty good. And I was full time after I was pastoring it a month. Amen. Crazy. I was crazy as a bed bug back in them days. All I had was faith. I didn't have any knowledge. Amen. All I had was zeal. And I went full time making $130 a week. And Matt, our smallest child, he loved his morning milk. Well, it was so poor around the Dale house, I didn't even have enough money to buy milk. And so I told the wife, I said, honey, I'm going to the church house and I'm going down there and we'll spend some time with the Lord. I'll be back. And I went and I locked myself in that little old storefront building. And I went in there and I went in the sanctuary that we had. And it was a long rectangular room that we had made up. Sometimes they'd come into the pulpit, be on that end. Next time they come in the pulpit, be on that end. I'd change it around all the time. We had metal fold-up chairs. We didn't have nice chairs like we got here. Oh, no. Had metal fold-up chairs. And I went in there and I got along with God. And I said, God, I said, my little old boy don't even have milk. I said, Lord, you called me into this thing. You didn't call him. Lord, I need some money for some milk. And I was a little bit discouraged, you know, just kind of murmuring and complaining before the Lord. You know how we do. Telling what the Lord needed to do in my life. And so I left out of there from praying and I went into my little office that I had set up. And there was an old gentleman in town that began giving me a bunch of books. He knew that his time was near and he wanted to pass his books down to some preacher. And he started giving me some of those books. His name was Herbert Saunders. And I remember going in my office that particular day and I walked in there and there was one book out of all those books on my shelves that I had. There was one that was just kind of like, it was just kind of glowing. Like God was saying, pick that book up. And I picked that book up. And I looked in the index. I always like to take a book and look at the index, see what they're going to talk about in that book. And I picked up that book and in the index, there was a chapter on the provisions of God. I looked over there and scanned across and found out what page number the provisions of God was on. And I flipped over there in that book to that particular page. And lo, when I got to that page, there laid a $5 bill. I thought I was hallucinating. I just won the lottery. Amen. There was a $5 bill. I picked up the phone and called Herbert Saunders. I said, Mr. Saunders, I said, in one of these books you gave me, I just found a $5 bill. And I said, it's yours. He said, no, I gave that book to you. It's yours. I said, glory to God. Hung that phone up. I said, glory to God. I'm glad he said that. I came home that day with 2 gallons of milk. That's back when you could buy 2 gallons with a $5 bill. Amen. I came home that day with two gallons of milk. I said, honey, look what God has done. Amen. Didn't have to charge it. Whoop! Hallelujah. God provided. Hallelujah. God provided. God showed himself in many supernatural ways in my life and in your life. And just because we've made it to the tree, there's some supernatural things that have come to every one of our ways. God has stopped all of heaven just to do something special for your life time and time again. I remember one time every bill we had was due. I mean, every bill we had was due. Me and my wife knew about it. We were the only two that knew about it. And I said, baby, we're just going to commit this to God in prayer. And we did. We prayed. We said, God, please. And one Sunday night, I just knew on that Sunday morning, I knew God was going to do something that Sunday morning service. Left there nothing. I thought, well, God, what you going to do? Went that Sunday night back to church. I said, tonight's going to be the night. God's going to do something miraculous. Some deacon in this church is going to... I want to take up a special love offering for the preacher. I just knew some deacon was going to stand up and say, we didn't even have deacons back then, amen. I just knew it was going to go that way. And left that church that night. I mean, nothing happened. And I went home. I was so downhearted, downcast. I said, well, the Lord's just forgot all about this situation. I mean, the next day, every bill I had was due and owing and had to get money to him. I told the wife, I said, honey, I said, I'm going to go in my closet and I'm going to pray. I'm going to shut the door. Hallelujah. Thank God for those places where we shut the door. I went in there and shut the door. And when I got along with one that sees and hears in secret, I was talking to him. About that time, I heard the doorbell ring. And Debbie went to the door. And she knew when I was in the room, in the secret place, not to mess with me. Because, I mean, I was alone with God in there. But this night, she came and knocked on the door. She said, John. And she heard me pray. And she said, John, you better come to the door. And I opened the door. I said, what is it? She said, someone at the door won't see you. I went in there. There stood a man standing there with a check. He said, I don't know why. He said, but God told me to come by here and give you this check. And it was a check for $1,000. I'm talking about low. Low. $1,000. Paid all of our bills and had a little extra. Woo-hoo-hoo. I'm talking about some of those supernatural things that God has done in all of our lives. God has shown you His power. God has shown you His love. God has shown you His faithfulness time and time and time again to all of us. We have seen and experienced those supernatural times in all of our lives. Have you ever told you a story about my eyes going crazy? It's called Our Story. Didn't think that I'd ever pastor again. Boy, I love pastoring, love preaching the Word of God, love pastoring God's people. And I didn't think I was ever going to get to pastor again. And this church called us up here. Came up here, and old Terry and them, they wanted to show me Gainesville, and I was trying to see it with one eye. trying to view the will of God with just one eye. Boy, that's a message. I just felt something on that. Amen. Trying to view the will of God with one eye. We need both eyes open, don't we? And while I was sitting in that van, my eyes straightened up. You know why they said my eyes messed up? Said because I had multiple sclerosis. And all these years they've told me, and I did, they diagnosed me with MS. I had MS. But this year I had something else arise and had to go do some other MRIs and all of that stuff. And I told the deacons and all of the meeting that we had earlier this year, I said, hey, I forgot to tell y'all. I said, but I went and had all these tests run. I said, they told me that I don't have MS anymore. Low. Woo! I'm talking about supernatural things happen in our lives when we make it to the tree. And lastly, I want to say this. It said that in our text, it said when he put that tree in them waters, they became sweet. When I made it to that tree, I found sweetness in my life. You know why? Because that tree, listen to me, there I was hanging in that tree. I was just leaning across that tree and hanging in that tree. And I got to looking at that boat. I'd gotten all the water out of the boat. And I was got back up in the tree and I was just hanging there. Getting my wind so I could get back in the boat and make my way to shore. And I got to thinking, as I was hanging in that tree, this tree is my way home. This tree is my way home. That tree is our way home. And you think about it tonight, of all the bitter places that you've been in your life. There's some of you in here tonight. You may be in a bitter place in your life. What would your life be through all of that bitterness without the tree? Think of where you would be tonight had it not been for that tree. There's no telling what we would have been facing. Oh, we go through some bitter things, some hard, cruel places in our lives. But think of what it'd be without the tree. What would your life be without the tree tonight? It'd be just nothing but bitterness, and at the end of all of that, a place called hell. But here we sit tonight because God showed every one of us a tree. I want you to take your hymnals tonight. Julie, you come. I want you to turn to page 305 in your hymnal.